What a joy it is for us to be together in the house of the Lord, to worship in the beauty of His holiness. So I'm continuing in my series in James. We're in James 3 today. James has been emphasizing this idea that talk is cheap, that we really show our faith by our words. Well, now he shifts the tenor of the conversation and he says, oh, but our words are important. They are critically important. For if we call ourselves Christians, then our words must reflect our Savior Jesus Christ. That is the theme of the message today. If you want to call yourself a Christian, if you do call yourself a Christian, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, then you are going to be like Jesus in your speech. Let's stand as we read the scripture from James 3. Beginning in verse 1, it's the entire chapter. James says this to Christians then and to Christians now. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals and birds and reptiles and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. The theme of the message is today, as I have said, you call yourself a Christian, then let your speech reflect that. I've divided this message into three parts. The first part is the source of human speech. The second part is the solution to human speech. And the third part is sanctification, of human speech. The source, the solution, and the sanctification. Now, James says in his opening line, not many of you should presume to be teachers. So I take that as a note to myself. His point is, teachers are going to talk a lot. And where words are many, sin is not far away. Even that is a theme of Scripture. Be careful. James has said a little bit earlier, listen. Listen first. Be slow to speak. And that is advice to all of us, but it's especially advice to those in the church who would be called to leadership. He's not saying don't become a leader. In fact, I want to take a moment here to thank the Lord for the leadership in our church, for our officers, for our elders, and for our deacons, for those who by God's grace have felt the call in their life to step up and give leadership to our congregation. That's a tough call. And words get spoken. Sometimes we speak in our passion, and sometimes we speak in our joy. But it is such a wonderful thing, I can say from the bottom of my heart, I thank God for the godly leaders that He has entrusted to Providence Church. And I'll say this, if you are feeling the call of the Spirit in your life to step up as a leader in this church, to speak the speech of Christ into the challenges and the joys of ministry, I pray that you would heed that call. Lord, open our ears. Remember we just sang that song, Open Our Ears, Lord? To what purpose? That we may be the hands, the feet, the mouthpiece of Christ. Again, thank you, Jesus, for the wonderful leaders that you've given to this church. But he does say we have to be careful about our speech. He says crazy things, in my humble opinion as a pastor, that the tongue is set on fire by hell itself. Whoa. That human speech is earthly and natural, it's unspiritual and it's demonic. James, take it easy, brother. You really want to go that far? I mean, I get earthly and natural, but you want to really say that the tongue is set on fire by hell itself? How can he say that? How is that the source of human speech? And I would posit this to you, my brothers and sisters. Satan, whose native language is lying and deception, the scripture says, came to our first human parents and deceived them. It was as though he waved a wand over them and he just bedeviled them. He mesmerized them. The truth of the scripture is when they bought into the lie of the deceiver, they came under his control. Our call to worship, our confession, thank you, Bob, for leading us in that, says that we have been called out of darkness into his wonderful life and light. In Martin Luther's great book, his response to Erasmus in The Bondage of the Will, Martin Luther says, we're not free agents to be able to choose God or choose ourselves or choose the way of the world. No, he actually says, we have come under the power of the deceiver, the one who's always lying, Satan himself. We're bound. It's like we've been sold into slavery. It's like we don't belong to ourselves and we don't belong to God anymore. We belong to the enemy of our souls. And Christian teaching is that Jesus Christ died to deliver us from the bondage to Satan. He paid the price. He was the propitiation. We are the expiation. Jesus Christ is the sacrifice of God to appease his anger, his holy and righteous anger against our rebellion and against the enemy of our soul. And the devil will pay. Believe you me, the devil will pay. there is a great lake of fire at the end of human history, and it is being prepared for the deceiver of our souls, the one who has held us in bondage up until the point that we came into his wonderful light, and Satan will be thrown in there with all of his angels. And this is an interesting thing. The Greek word for by hell itself is Gehenna. And it represents the valley in Jerusalem, the Hinnom Valley, where all of the junk, the garbage of Jerusalem was thrown and it was set on fire. Nobody went down there because it stunk, as you can well imagine. But that is the description, that this little tongue is set on fire by that fire of nothing good and rubbish and stench. Then he also says that this tongue, as earthly and as natural as it is also demonic. And the Greek word there is of the demons, of the fallen angels. Okay, so when I make this reference to Satan and his legions, he's saying that this tongue, humanly speaking, because of the bondage of the will, is under the control of the liar, of the deceiver, of the enemy of our souls. What's the solution? It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. Jesus Christ has rescued us. Jesus Christ is our new life. In Him, we don't have to pay allegiance to the enemy of our soul when we were in shackled and in chains and we had no choice. We've been set free. We've been redeemed. Oh, thanks be to God. So that's the solution, right? Perfect. Jesus Christ comes into our life and our tongue is healed. Not so fast. I want to read to you the wisdom of Scripture from Romans. Now, Paul is also an apostle, along with James. And James is referring to Jesus Christ as the wisdom of God and the one by whom now we can have a hope that our tongue will be redeemed and it will be sanctified. But in our earthly experience, we know that altogether, too often, our speech is still very natural, very fleshly, very earthly. And yeah, even at times, demonic. It has all the things to do with deception and lying. We can't even help ourselves in any given week. We're going to say stuff that the Father Himself is grieved by. Scripture says, how is it possible that you as Christians can praise God in one moment, and then like the next moment, you're cursing your fellow human being in whose image you have been created? Grieves the heart of God. It grieved Paul too, to the point where he wrote in Romans 7, after this beautiful treatise of bondage to the will and now freedom in Christ. But yeah, we're still struggling in this world because we're going through a process of sanctification. Jesus Christ is the solution. He is the one that has given us new life. We have new creation in Him. So Paul kind of brings up this topic here. It's like, how is it possible then, if we have new life in Christ, that we still struggle with our tongue? He says this in chapter 7 of Romans in verse 23. But there is something else deep within me, in my lower nature, in my earthly natural nature, he says, that is at war with my mind, my renewed mind in Christ Jesus. And it often wins the fight and makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. In my mind, in my new creation, in my new understanding of who I am in Jesus Christ, I want to be God's willing servant. But instead, I find myself still, altogether too often, enslaved to sin. So you see how it is? My new life in Christ tells me to do the right thing, but the old nature that is still inside of me loves to sin. Oh, what a terrible predicament that I am in, he writes. Who will rescue me from my slavery to this deadly lower nature? Thanks be to God, he says. It has been done by Jesus Christ our Lord. He has set me free. Jesus Christ is the solution to our heart problem. Scripture says, out of the abundance of the heart, so speaketh the mouth. The mouth is just a mouthpiece. The lip is just, you know, a megaphone for what's going on inside in your heart. And so Paul is saying, we have this new heart. It's been given to us by Jesus Christ. So wouldn't it make sense that the moment that we have this new heart, then nothing but Jesus starts being reflected in our speech? And he says, no, because we're not quite done with our old self. We really won't be freed completely of our old self, the one that's deceived and the one that still so longs to kind of go after my own earthly desire, my own carnal nature, until we see Jesus. And that process, from the time when he has come to renew your heart and come and lives in your heart by his Spirit, until the time that we see him face to face, that period, that's the period of sanctification of our mouth. Jesus has called us to a new life in him. Jesus is the wisdom of God lives within us. So more and more, as we keep our eyes on Jesus and we run toward him in this race, because he is the author and perfecter of our faith, he who began a good work in us will be faithful to complete it, but it will take our whole life. And now, by the Spirit, we must train our hearts to have the speech of Christ, to live for him. I do want to read a little something from a wonderful book that I came across by the great Dutch theologian, prime minister, and social activist of the late 1800s, Abraham Kuyper. He wrote a book in Dutch called Near Unto God, and it's been updated by a professor of English and literature at Door College in Iowa, a guy named James Schaap. And this particular devotional that I read the other day, which I feel like fits beautifully in with my message, is called The Soul Which I Have Made. The souls which I have made. I think that's a double entendre, because we are the soul which he has made, but it also reflects how we are with other people. So we are the art that God has created, he writes here. And imagine God's horror at our individual sin. Even worse, imagine the scorching anger that he must hold toward those who slash and butcher others, other human beings created in the image of God, by their faithlessness. Those who wound the likeness of God in any of his children, which is a direct reference to something that James says. How is it in one moment you're praising the Lord, and the next moment you're cutting down a fellow human being who is made in the image of God? It ought not so to be. How is this possible? How can you have vineyard with vines, and you go in there and you're going to expect grapes to grow on that, right? Anybody can figure this out. You're not going to go into a vineyard and get figs. You're going to get whatever you plant. And he's challenging us to say it ought not to be so. How is it that you can have a fresh spring and bitter water comes out of it? It doesn't work that way. It ought not to be that way. So he's motivating us. He's inspiring us. He's challenging us to say, live up to all that you are in Christ, the living water that springs from your heart. But he also reflects the fact that so often we use our tongue to hurt other people. To know deeply that we are children of God, he writes, the masterpieces of God's handiwork, to know that we bear our Father's image and carry his likeness, brings to all who comprehend it a clear twofold understanding. First, it should bring us consolation and comfort. My brothers and sisters, Christ is in you. He loves you. You are a beloved child. Listen, you have been created in his image, but you have been recreated in the image of Christ because of what Jesus has done for you and because of the living spirit that now is in you. Thanks be to God for his wonderful work in our lives as Christians, and we should rejoice in that. But second, it should bring fear and trembling. Because we are his, our sin is not simply our own, but it is a grievous wound on God's own essence. Do you understand that? To begin every morning of one's life with the knowledge that we have been created by God is the first and foremost step in realizing the importance of avoiding that very sin of speaking against fellow brothers and sisters in Christ or any image bearer. Do you understand that? What he's saying is we begin each morning resting in the reality that we are beloved children of the Father, because he has made us. And now he calls us to reflect that reality to everybody that we come in contact with. Our words get us sideways. I'm a verbal processor, so be careful, because I'm going to get myself into trouble as I speak, because I'm thinking as I'm speaking. Scripture says maybe you should think first before you speak. But we're all different. Some people in a day, they'll only say a few words. Other people will say a lot more words, and I'm one of the a lot more words kind of guy. At one point in my life, I think I was a fairly young Christian. I might have been in my early 20s. And I just got so frustrated with my own lack of impulse control and self-control over my tongue that I said, Lord, I'm going to fast my words. Fast my words. I'm just not going to say anything today. Okay, well, I can tell you all about how that went, whether I was successful or not. But here's an interesting thing. Jesus said, if your right eye causes the offense, pluck it out. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. That's hyperbolic language. If we took that literally, I think we'd be a lot of half-blind and half-lame people in the church. Jesus is speaking in hyperbole there. He's saying, cut that off, metaphorically speaking. But even if you were to put a piece of duct tape over your mouth for an entire day because you're trying to train your heart, you could still think in the same way that even if you did pluck your eye out, you could still imagine sin, because it is out of the abundance of the heart that we act and that we speak. Now, there are times when it is appropriate for us to fast. Maybe it is good for us to bite our tongue, and as someone has said here before, until it bleeds, and swallow the blood. Yes, there may be an appropriate place for that. But how much more should we settle our hearts that we are beloved children of the Father? That because of the work of the Spirit in our life, that we can be springs of living water, refreshing to all those around, and that we can train our hearts through the process of daily sanctification, of daily beginning, of being washed in the Word, of reading the Scriptures in our devotional time and praying, and specifically saying, Lord, may I be a mouthpiece of your grace. May I speak pure words. May I speak words that are from you, filled with grace and mercy. Because this admonition here is not just to say words, not to say words that hurt, but is also to speak words that heal. And more in our life, as we become less selfish and less focused on our own interests, there are fewer words that reflect our earthly and natural side, and more words that reflect our new life in Christ. So I challenge us, let us be that kind of people that in this new creation that we ask daily, starting in the early morning, Lord, let my words be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. As the scripture says in the Psalms, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Do you understand why those are so closely connected? Because it is because of the rock and the redeemer that we even have a hope to be able to speak words of grace and of love and of mercy, to reflect Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is our rock and Jesus Christ is our redeemer. Do you despair sometimes at your lack of maturity in your words? I want to comfort you with the scriptures and encourage you that this process of sanctification so often is like two steps forward and one step back. But Jesus is leading us. And as we hold onto Him and as He holds onto us, do you understand that He's leading us into that place more and more, where our words really do reflect the deep reality of our heart, a heart transformed by His love, a heart that is inflamed by the love of Jesus Christ to us who were lost but are found, and to a world that is lost and needs to hear the good news of the gospel. Let us speak those words today, tomorrow, and every day to ourselves and to everyone that we come in contact with. Thanks be to God. Amen.